where everything just pulls you closer to him. Shehbaz Sharif tweeted, "Finalized Ramadan package today prepared by the Punjab government on my directions. Under this package, the poorest of the poor will be given flour free of cost. Federal government will work with other provinces to launch similar schemes for the benefit of people affected by inflation." Laila wrote, "I need Ramadan to bring that peace into my heart again like it always does. It's come at a time where I really need it. Inshallah, we all get to experience another beautiful Ramadan this year."
And that was our episode on Ramadan in the subcontinent and various traditions and practices associated with the holy month. We should meet again next week. So till then, take great care.
God's Month. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. The blessed month of Ramadan is the month of taking the lead in obedience of God and competition in doing righteous deeds. The Messenger of Mercy, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, "Every deed has two halves. One half is worship and another half belongs to prayer." According to this luminous word, no worship is considered as a righteous deed unless it is accompanied with prayer. Prayer and asking God is the means of taking the lead in worship and servitude. The Prophet has also been narrated as saying, "Two persons enter paradise while one of them notices that the other one is superior to him. He asks God, 'My Lord, why have you given him superiority over me while our deeds were the same?' God the Exalted answers, 'He used to ask me, but you didn't. He used to pray, but you didn't.'" All of us have committed sins and have slipped from the right path. Moreover, we won't be immune from slipping in future either. But our sins shouldn't make us lose hope in God's mercy and forgiveness, no matter how great these sins are. God says in Ayah 53 of Surah Zumar, "Say that Allah declares, 'O my servants who have committed excess against their own souls, do not despair of Allah's mercy. Indeed, Allah will forgive all sins. Indeed, He is the all-forgiving, the all-merciful.'" If a person commits sin out of ignorance and then realizes his mistake and decides to compensate and correct his behavior, God gives good news of forgiving him. The Prophet of Islam says that Allah has said, "If my servants who have turned their backs to me knew how much I wait for them and am eager to their return, they would lose life zealously." Islam has considered despairing of God's mercy as the greatest sin. How can be desperate of God's mercy while His mercy has overtaken His wrath? And the surahs of the Quran begin with the two names of Rahman, meaning the all-compassionate, and Rahim, meaning the all-merciful. These two words have been repeated nearly 450 times in the Quran. This makes is dare to turn to Allah, no matter how many sins we may have committed. Definitely, there is no refuge except God against our sins. So, how can we be disappointed of His mercy and forgiveness? However, Imam Reza, peace upon him, has warned us, saying, "He who has repented and asked his God for pardoning and forgiveness, while he is still persisting in sin and does not give up committing sin, indeed, he has ridiculed himself." Those who know God are well aware that God's mercy, munificence, and magnanimity are infinite. Thus, they never quit appealing to Him and demanding from Him. There is no need to pass courses at the faculties of theology to recognize God. It would suffice only to look at different phenomena in nature and the world. Listening to the sound of waterfalls, the blowing of wind, and chirruping of birds will open the doors of cognizance to God, to our heart and intellect. This has been manifested in the best way in dua iftitah, or supplication of opening or restarting, where the infallible Imam says, "All praise belongs to Allah, whose kingdom is clear in creation, and His praise is manifested through magnanimity of His majesty. His hand is open in munificence, the one whose treasury will never decrease, and ample giving will not increase, but His generosity and magnanimity. Indeed, He is the invincible, the all-munificent." This has been explicated by Imam Ali, peace upon him, where he says, "I haven't seen anything except that I have seen Allah with it, in it, before it, and after it." This is quite opposite of the Western surgeon who said, "I will never believe in God until I see Him lying in front of me for operation." An adamant faithless who denies God's manifest signs everywhere is like a person who denies sun and closes his eyes not to see it. In this part of the supplication, we read that the more God gives and donates, the more His generosity and magnanimity increases. To make it clear, Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "Every container becomes smaller with pouring in it, except the container of knowledge, which becomes broader with pouring in it." In other words, a student who learns 10 subjects, his mind will be ready to grasp more subjects. In the same way, when God gives some bounty, the individual's capacity increases and God will give him more.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
One of the most misunderstood concepts and the notions in Islam is the concept of jihad. Unfortunately, after the Al-Qaeda and the ISIS extremists look at the Islam, the Western media has covered jihad as a type of suicide, bombing, volunteer killing of oneself, massacre in the name of Allah and in the path of Islam. This is very unfortunate to say that jihad was defined this way. So we say this is a jihadi look, or this is a jihadi struggle, a jihadi war. This means, for example, suicide bombing or bomb attack or self-bombing or something like that, unfortunately. For today's discussion, we want to elaborate and we want to clarify what is the true meaning of jihad and how to, improve the spirit of jihad in ourselves. Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, let's start with you. How do you define the concept of jihad and jihad spirit or jihad-like spirit?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we look at the initial text or the main foundation of Islam, the text which has been provided, which is Quran,
yes,
we see that in many cases the word jihad has been used in the context of struggling,
mm-hmm,
because it has come from the word jihad. Jihad means to struggle.
Okay.
To try to perform something. So therefore, the word jihad itself, or jihad fi sabilillah, struggle in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this struggle can be achieving something. This struggle can be, you know, for the students studying properly. You know, obviously there is a struggle in it. There is a hardship in it. But it should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the person who's working in the office, he's bringing the, you know, he's earning every day. So he goes out, he struggles. And if it is in line with the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is for the sake of nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a kind of jihad. So jihad has a vaster meaning. It's not limited to the battles or the fighting, as you said. The other point is the thing that you mentioned in the beginning, that after the ISIS and all those things that happened, the wrong meaning is being, you know, given to the word. It was done purposefully by the enemies of Islam. It was a propaganda, Islamic phobia, through the name of jihad, because in the history, generally, when it is referred to the battles, because this battle is in the path of Allah.
Yes.
It is to save the Muslim world. It is to save the Muslim community. Because, you know, the battles that we see in the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was the self-defense.
Yes.
He never invaded any place. So he defended himself. He defended his city, the Medina, which was the capital of Islam at that time. So all those things that we see that he has done, he struggled to save Islam.
Yes.
So this was struggle. Even in the ahadith we have that you have performed the greater jihad.
Yes, jihad al-akbar.
Jihad al-akbar. You have to do this.
Yes, yes.
After the jihad al-asghar, the smallest jihad. Asghar, you know the word akbar and asghar, these are superlative form.
Yes.
Sighr is small. Asghar means smallest.
Yes.
So battling with the guns or swords and all those, this is jihad al-asghar, the smallest jihad. And the jihad al-akbar, the greatest jihad, is to reform yourself, to purify yourself.
Combating the self-desires and the carnal desires inside is called jihad al-akbar. That's right. And I think the meaning of jihad nowadays, if it wants to be understood in a true sense of the word, has to be defined in this way.
Yes.
It is a kind of combat, as you said, or a struggle against the devilish or evilish or carnal desires inside your soul and spirit.
That's right. Because, you know, when we look at the, you know, the Quranic text, jahadu fi sabilillah, for example, bi amwalikum, you need to do jihad with your wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is this?
Okay.
Wealth is
not a god. Sacrifice your wealth.
You need to sacrifice your wealth. You need to give charities. You need to boost the community. You need to help the society. You know, all these meanings are there. With your children, what does it mean? It mm-hmm. means that you need to train your children okay. in the best way.
Yes.
So that you give the best people to the community.
Okay.
You know, all these things. Be enfus. You know, even about Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was struck by yes. Ibn Muljam, he made his advice to Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba. And he said, alaykum al-jihad bi-alsinatikum. It is upon you to do jihad with your tongues. What does it mean? It mm-hmm. means that you need to clarify, you need to convey the true message of Islam.
Yes.
So basically, jihad itself means to struggle in the path. Now, this struggle depends on the situations.
Yes.
In which situation you are and how you are struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu okay. wa ta'ala.
Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, and some criteria are enumerated for reaching jihad. One of which, and the first of which, is ikhlas or sincerity. What does it mean exactly?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, as it was rightly mentioned by our brother, that jihad, we have two types of jihad. One is in the case that, for example, Muslim people are attacked by the enemy, so they have the right to defend themselves. As all the nation across the globe, they have this right to defend themselves. This is one of the jihad that we have in Islam, that Muslims should defend, to protect themselves against the attack that the enemies attack them. So it is something that is accepted worldwide.
Okay.
This is one of the meaning of jihad, which is a defensive jihad, protective kind of jihad, which goes to the struggling, to fighting against the enemies. But the other concept of jihad that we have in Islam is fighting against your own bad desires, willings, bad willings, evil kind of willings and desires, to sacrifice yourself, to emulate yourself for the others, for the sake of others, to give service to the other people. You know, this meaning of jihad, this concept of jihad is even, according to some of the ahadith, it is more important.
Yes.
It is more emphasized by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because in one of the occasions, the people, the Muslim ummah, the companions of the Holy Prophet came to the Prophet. They were very much proud of themselves because they had a victory in a jihad, in a fighting. And the Prophet said, no, it was minor jihad that you performed. Now you have to do the major jihad, to perform the major jihad. Say, okay, what is the major jihad? Says that jihad bin nafs. You have to fight against your own kind of mm-hmm. desires and willings, that you have to control yourself. So this concept of jihad is even more important, more useful, more helpful for the Muslim society, because it encourages Muslims to give service to each other freely. Mm-hmm. Even to sacrifice themselves for each other. And that's why this way, if a Muslim live by this kind of, let's say, manner, and by this sort of lifestyle, then of course, if all the people in a society think that they have to give service to each other, they have to serve the people, they have to sacrifice themselves for the others, then everyone try to sacrifice. You see how a beautiful society would have.
Yes.
How these kind of societies will get more developed, will become more advanced very soon, very quickly, because all the people try their best to contribute to the improvement,
so ikhlas means
to
this,
the advancement.
In order to be contributive to
exactly,
the people.
Okay. Exactly. That's, you know, right. Ikhlas, when you are mukhlis, mm-hmm. when are you mukhlis? You are mukhlis if you sincerely mm-hmm. serve the others.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of this.
Without waiting, for example, for
exactly,
the money
to be
or the
praised
bonus
for the others. No.
Or the benefits.
Voluntarily, okay. You have to serve the people.
Yes.
It is called ikhlas, just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even sometimes, for example, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the beginning of the Islam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always being attacked by the enemies, being the people made fun of him, annoyed him, disturbing him. But he always consistently, actually, he served the people.
That's
so. This
right.
is the lifestyle of the Prophet that should be adopted by the Muslim who is a mukhlis, who is sincere.
Okay. And without sacrifice and the concept of isar, it is impossible to reach a true jihad, or it's better to say to apply true jihad in your life. What kind of sacrifice is this? Because, you know, in the jihadist look, in the ISIS format, they have sacrificed themselves, it's better to say. For example, through bomb attack or suicide attack or something like that. And they consider it as a sacrifice for the path of Islam, in order to save Islam. But what does it mean when we say sacrifice or isar in the true sense of the jihad?
Well, obviously, in the case of ISIS, even I don't see that sacrifice which you have defined.
Okay.
The reason
No, they themselves believe.
The reason is that when you look at the ISIS or the concept of, you know, the Pakistani Taliban that we have, or the terrorist groups that we have, if you do not accept them, if you are, you know, you're not, your opinions are not exactly what they say, they do not give you the permission of living, you know, they take your lives. That's why we saw that ISIS has killed the Sunnis, they have killed the Shias, they have killed the Christians. No matter the person was, you know, same in the belief with them, like, for example, if it was a Sunni and ISIS were Sunni,
yes,
it wasn't matter for them. The main thing was that they wanted to everyone follow them and everyone to believe in them and everyone to become servants of them, the way they say. This is not the sacrifice that Allah has said in the Quran or jihad. This wasn't the style of the Prophet, because Prophet, when someone was disagreeing with the Prophet, the punishment was not death. It was giving him more awareness.
Yes.
It was acknowledging him. It was telling him. Even about the kuffar, there was a zim. There was like kuffar zimmi. They used to give a text, a specific text.
Jizya.
Yes. And it wasn't, the punishment wasn't the death.
Yes.
So for the ISIS, I will disagree with this, that they have sacrificed the meaning which we are using, because they're doing everything for their own, you know, according to their own desires or benefits. Okay. This is not the Islamic view at all.
Yes.
On the other hand, when we talk about the sacrifice, what does it mean and what kind of sacrifice? It means that, first of all, when we talk about the ikhlas, is to color yourself in the way of Allah's color, sibghatullah, like it is the verse which is used in the Quran, which means that, you know, your actions, your clothing, your way of talking, it should be in a way that it tells that he is a Muslim, for example.
Yes.
He is colored the way Allah wanted to him. He observes the justice. He observes the, you know, the rights of the others. He takes care about the community. On the other hand, when we talk about the sacrifice, types of sacrifice, is that you do not think about yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the others.
Okay.
This is the main concept or the principle of living in a society. If we want to have a peaceful society, rather than thinking about myself, as it is in the capitalism, the ideology of thinking about yourself, maximizing your own profit, and just think about yourself, your own power, it's not about that in Islam. Islam, when talks about the spirit of jihad, it means that you need to think about others first.
Yes.
You need to give importance to the others. When you give importance to the others, then you give importance to yourself.
That's right.
For example, to bring the minds closer, when a couple, they marry, you know, the husband and wife, the couple is, you know, they are successful in living together when they think about each other, when they give importance to each other. You know, if the husband is giving more importance to the wife, he does not impose whatever he thinks always. He does the, you know, discussion, he gets the ideas from the wife, or if there is a dispute, he gives right to the wife. On the other hand, we see that the wife is also doing the same thing with the husband. So it's a mutual understanding that we say. So basically, they are having a jihadi, we can say, spirit in the house, where they sacrifice their own interests, their own taste, their own, you know, priorities over the others, and they give importance to the others. So this is one of the things that we can see.
Okay.
And in the society, if we have people who take care of the others right, who give importance to the others, we can see that society reaches to the peace, that society is a peaceful place to live. The people, they are very much bound with each other, they respect each other. And this is what Islam talks about. This is the jihadi, we can say, spirit,
the
isar, or the sacrifice. And this will result in having a peaceful and good society.
Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of jihad and how to improve this spirit of jihad in ourselves. It was very kind of you. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Allah. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها
Food for thought. Hello everyone. Here are some guidelines for fasting from the Holy Prophet's fifth infallible heir, Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, who quotes the Prophet's advice to his companion, Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari. O Jabir, whoever fasts the days of Ramadan stands for prayers in part of its nights, guards his or her sexual desires, reins in his or her tongue, lowers his or her gaze, and injures not the feelings of others, will become free of sins as on the day he or she was born.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
In September 2021, the U.S. announced a commitment to a shared ambition to support Australia in acquiring nuclear-powered submarines for the Royal Australian Navy. On March 13th this year, that commitment matured to its next phase, with the major summit of AUKUS, top officials from Australia, the UK, and the United States, and the announcement of the U.S. plan to provide Australia with nuclear-powered submarines. According to a White House fact sheet, the arming of Australia with nuclear-powered submarines will take place in phases. From around 2027, U.S. and U.K. nuclear submarines will undertake rotational deployments to Australia. In the 2030s, subject to U.S. congressional approval, Australia will purchase 3 to 5 Virginia-class subs. And finally, beginning from the early 2040s, Australia will build 8 entirely new submarines, including a new combat system. The nuclear-powered submarines will allow patrols closer to the Asian mainland without a port call. For its part, China says that the latest joint statement from the U.S., U.K., and Australia demonstrates that the three countries, for the sake of their own geopolitical interests, completely disregard the concerns of the international community and are walking further and further down the path of error and danger. China has listed a number of harms that AUKUS will bring to the region. The trilateral alliance may cause risks of nuclear proliferation, induce a new round of arms race, undermine regional prosperity and stability, sabotage the building of a nuclear weapons-free zone in Southeast Asia, and revive the Cold War mentality. China believes that it is a deliberate move by the U.S. and the U.K. to provide carriers of weapons of mass destruction, nuclear technology, and nuclear materials with the Anglosphere world. And the process is counter to the objective of the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons. According to Ristian Atriandis Suprianto, from the Strategic and Defense Studies Center at the Australian National University, with more rotational presence of U.S. and U.K. subs in Australia, there is a greater necessity for China to surveil these units and thereby increase the likelihood of accidents or incidents at sea. The plan to place nuclear-powered submarines in close proximity to China in a security grouping whose mission is to contain China reinforces Beijing's complaint that Washington is encircling it by forming Cold War-style blocks and that Washington is pursuing its security interests at the expense of the security interests of other countries, moves that are leading to conflict and confrontation. China has further charged that the plan flouts the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT. The AUKUS pact is seen as exploiting a loophole in the 1967 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT, to allow for the transfer of fissile material and nuclear technology from a nuclear weapon state to a non-weapon state. The loophole allows fissile material utilized for non-explosive military use, like naval propulsion, to be exempt from International Atomic Energy Agency inspections and monitoring. This makes arms control experts nervous, as it sets a precedent that could be used by others to hide highly enriched uranium or plutonium, the core of a nuclear weapon, from international oversight. In the words of James Acton, coordinator of the Nuclear Policy Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, there is real and concrete harm done. Australia would misuse that fuel, and that other countries would invoke AUKUS as a precedent for removing nuclear fuel from safeguards. The move is also a textbook case of double standard that would damage the international non-proliferation system.
If the United States of America, on the one hand, suppresses countries like Iran, countries like North Korea, and instead it arms other nations, especially those who are facing no threat, like Australia, I think it smacks of double standards.
Australian critics, on the other hand, have questioned whether their country is ceding too much sovereignty if what will become their most powerful military tool is deeply embedded in an alliance structure. Meanwhile, Southeast Asian countries have previously expressed concerns that Australia's nuclear-propelled submarines may mainly operate in their region, particularly in the South China Sea.
Well, Indonesia already showed a standpoint to Australia to concern that we ask Australia to be more commitment on peace and stability maintenance in the region. So, of course, with the new pact, nuclear pact between UK, Australia, and America that allow Australia to procure 8 nuclear power submarines. This will be changing the security landscape in the region. Not only myself, Indonesia, ASEAN, and I think including the China, will against the movement, any movement of proliferation of nuclear power.
They have also been anxious over the risk of nuclear proliferation. Indonesia, for example, has noted that sharing nuclear technology to power submarines could heighten the risk of new weapons of mass destruction. Moreover, ASEAN, or Association of Southeast Asian Nations, is increasingly divided over the differences between the U.S. and China, as all member states need economic ties with China but rely on the U.S. for stability and security. All in all, the recent AUKUS announcement sharpens confrontation with China and strains the NPT, at a time when the world needs no more confrontation between superpowers and no more threat to nuclear restraint and non-proliferation.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. Welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. On the 5th of Ramadan, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, we are with you, and of course, we're going to speak one interesting topic, so be with us.
Love is everywhere, so much peace fills up the air. Ramadan, month of the Quran, I feel it inside me, strengthening my iman. But how I wish you'd be here with me all year around. Ramadan, 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 ya Habib. Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb.
Today is Monday, 5th of Ramadan, 1444, corresponding to the 7th of Farvardin, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 27th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose verse 1 from Surah An-Nisa to listen to, and of course, we learn about the point of it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا.
O mankind, fear your Lord, who created you from one soul and created from it its mate and dispersed from both of them many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you ask one another, and the wombs. Indeed, Allah is ever over you, an observer.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The first verse of this surah addresses all human beings. The content of this verse is a message to mankind as a whole. It invites them to piety and being in awe of Allah. Then to introduce the Lord who is aware of all deeds of human beings, it points to one of his attributes, which is the origin of the unity of human race. Mentioning this subject here is a sign of an extraordinary importance that the Quran maintains for a strengthening blood kinship.
إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
By this, we go to the topic of this episode. Today, we're going to speak about visiting and paying attention to our kinship. And of course, Ramadan is the best opportunity for this social activities. The month of Ramadan is the holiest month in Islam. According to the five pillars of Islam, which form the basis of the Muslim faith, it is incumbent on all Muslims to observe the fast during the holy month. This entails abstaining from all food, drink, and by extension, any thoughts and actions that pollute the mind and soul from sunrise to sunset. After breaking the fast, the nights are filled with prayer, meditation, and reflection, in addition to activities such as socializing, special lanterns, decorations, games, riddles, and other pastimes have come to characterize this holy month. Ramadan may be a month of fasting and prayer, but it is also a month of charity, social activity, and of families eagerly gathering around the television to watch this year's latest Ramadan television series.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salat ar-Rahim, which means associating and meeting with relative and with the relatives and helping them, is among moral teachings of Islam. The Quran and Hadith emphasize so much on Salat ar-Rahim that the Quran considers those who abandon it among the losers of the losers and the cursed. In Hadith, Salat al-Rahim is mentioned as the best action after faith, the first action speaking on the Judgment Day, the best attribute of the faithful, and the best factor for prolonging life. According to a divine Hadith, Salat al-Rahim is derived from the mercy of God, and anyone who abandons it will be deprived of His mercy. It is sometimes obligatory and sometimes recommended. Qat'ur rahim, that is, which means abandoning obligatory salatur rahim or the lack of having the necessary relationship with relatives, is among the great sins. and is not permissible even about sinful or temperamental relatives. We have in a hadith that shows the importance of this concept in the holy month of Ramadan. That has been said, وَصِلُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ وَحْفَظُوا أَلْسِنَتَكُمْ. That is, in this month, try to visit your relatives and keep your tongues and protect your tongues while you are fasting. So it is one of the etiquettes of the holy month of Ramadan to take care of Salatul Rahim. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put forth some teachings as the morals of this month so that they benefit the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, and it will double the benefits and the fruits of this holy month, that is the month of God's feast. Including that, the Messenger of God mentions some of these morals in the Sermon of Sha'baniya, which is about the virtues and precautions of the month of Ramadan. He says, the poor and the unfortunate person is the one who does not benefit from God's forgiveness in this great month. And he continues that in this month, try to remember hunger and thirst of the day of resurrection with your thirst and hunger. And secondly, help the poor and the needy and give alms to them. In the next, the Holy Prophet continues and says, respect elders. And the fourth point that the Holy Prophet mentions in this beautiful sermon, he says that be gentle with your children. And at the end, he emphasizes on the Salatul Rahim and visiting relatives and respecting them. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. In the holy month of Ramadan, the month of Allah.
Be with IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Every day for 15 minutes.
ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد ومضات خير للعباد ومضات نور للفؤاد.
Yes, you can eat around us, but be mindful. This is the topic of this part of today's special. People often feel guilty about eating in front of a fasting person. No need to feel guilty. You need to eat, and we are not starving. We are making a conscious choice to abstain from food. If your troop usually meets around lunchtime, try changing it up so that fasting aren't singled out. If it's unavoidable, make sure your snacks and meals can be taken home to eat later. If at all possible, avoid scheduling evening events during Ramadan. Iftar is a sacred time each night after a long day of fasting, and we want to be home with friends or family or at the mosque to break our fast communally. So while it's often impossible in our world to avoid all evening activities during those, it can be courteous to build in a short break during sundown so that fasting individuals can go break their fast, have a meal ready for them to do so, and pray without having to miss out. Or better yet, incorporate an iftar into your event so that everyone can join in on great food when it's time.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال
الله الله يا ربي يا الله
As I told you before, today we're looking at the visiting our kinship and its importance in Islam. In this part, we have some guidelines about the etiquette of visiting. For example,
don't enter anyone's house or room without permission. You are obligated to seek their permission first. The other etiquette of visiting is the Islamic code of seeking permission specifies that one should stand close to the door. Knock and thereafter say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May I come in? If this does not elicit a reply, employ the same method of salam a second and third time. After the third time, if you fail to get a reply, consider it an inopportune moment for meeting and visiting. There could be some valid excuse. Therefore, return and do not ever feel offended. The other etiquette is, while seeking permission to enter, stand on one side. Don't stand in such a way that you can see inside. However, if the host is right in front of you, make salam and seek permission to enter.
Assalamu alaikum. Imagine a scenario in which your child comes home one day from school and they have been given an assignment to create a family tree to map out the roots and the branches of your family. And they're certainly familiar with their cousins and they're familiar with their aunts and uncles, but they need to go beyond that for this assignment and try to map out as much as they possibly can. And this is something you're really excited about once you hear about it, because you yourself wanted to pursue a similar kind of project. You thought it would be cool, it would be fun, but you just never got around to it. And now you have an opportunity to do it. So you start working on it. But as you work on it, you realize that there are many gaps in your memory. There are many unread messages from family members. There are many unresponded calls that you go through their Facebook feeds. You go through your WhatsApp contact list. You suddenly see names and you think, I haven't contacted that person in a while, or wow, I didn't know that this was happening in the life of that cousin and that aunt and my grandmother, etc. And you really start to feel that this is something that you should be doing more regularly. Now, the good deed I am alluding to here with this scenario is Silat al-Rahim, which is something that's extremely important, something that's given a very privileged place in the list of good actions that we can do. And Silat al-Rahim essentially is maintaining good family relationships, maintaining them, building them, enhancing them, beautifying them, upholding them. And there's one particular aspect of Silat al-Rahim that I would like to discuss and draw attention to, something that is, I think, an extremely effective way of actually doing all of that, building and beautifying our family relationships, not just with our immediate family, but our extended families and our relatives. The Prophet said, learn your lineages so to solidify your family ties. Indeed, keeping family ties causes love among the kinship, enriches the wealth, and increases the lifespan. Silat al-Rahim in general has many benefits, but this particular aspect of it, as a historian, as a student of history, when people often come to me and ask me for recommendations about where should they start when they want to start studying history, what I'm inclined to do in many of the cases is to say, start with your own family history and try to map that out, because that will be personal to you, that will be inspiring to you, and that will actually help you immediately. It'll be very beneficial for you because it will help you build your family ties, and that's something that's extremely important in Islam.
Dear brothers and sisters, I wish you this Ramadan. You are gifted with blessings of Allah and many treasures, moments of joy. Ramadan Mubarak, and keep us in your dua and supplication. Fi amanillah. Allah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.